Last week, I talked about an AI music company called Boomy that created fake music, and the fake music started streaming to fake listeners. So our world has gone completely sideways. So if you're behind in all of the fake chat that like OpenAI and ChatGPT, you're not alone. Technology has gotten to the place where we all feel a bit overwhelmed, but I'm of the mind, and probably you are too, that if you don't stay current, you'll get far behind very fast. So this week, I thought we'd do a catch-up, and I don't plan on using these fake chats or music generators anytime, but we still need to understand the technology for no better reason, so we don't fall prey to it. Welcome back to Accelerando. My name is Paula Tuttle, and today we're looking into artificial intelligence-created music platforms. Only this week, Google launched an AI music generator they named MusicLM. And just like other platforms that make generic music, you're given written prompts or choices like soulful jazz at dinner party or suspenseful strings for walking in a haunted house. Then MusicLM will try to compose a piece based on your instructions. So first of all, let's be clear. Google isn't giving its users the keys to the kingdom with this music platform the way GPT-4 or ChatGPT is an open platform. In MusicLM, you can suggest things from a list, and Google remains the gatekeeper to the tools that synthesize the music. MusicLM has a pretty large structure of categories, and it makes some people feel like it encompasses a wide variety. But to a trained musician, it looks pretty cheesy. There are a bunch of things listed, like a cappella chorus, string quartet, piano solo. They don't have everything, and very little that interests someone with a serious classical music degree. It's entry level, in my opinion. They're throwing a wide net trying to get the biggest number of people to try their platform first. If you're really serious about creating synth orchestra sounds, you should look into some other sophisticated platforms that make orchestral works. And it's not just making it easier, it's just starting from a different vantage point. Music is always just a bit behind language in technology. Like the printing press for words came long before any kind of printer for music. So actually, music was written by hand for centuries after the printing press was invented. But even music notation, it developed long after the alphabet. In today's world, the Kindle or a tablet can adapt page size and sentence length to fit the page, but no music apps have quite gotten there yet. But pretty soon, I think. The very first AI-generated novel was published this month, and Stephen Marsh created his AI platform and gives it the pseudonym Aidan Marchine. So Aidan Marchine is the author on the cover of the thriller titled Death of an Author. On an interview with the Gist host Mike Pesca, Marsh gives a good summary of what it's like to work with the AI platform. Marsh created the platform because his boss gave him the project in January. Sounds a little like training your replacement? Maybe. So Stephen Marsh, he talked about what it's like to work with the OpenAI platform he developed, and I think it's easy enough to compare it to what it would be like to work with an OpenAI platform for music composition. So Stephen Marsh said that the biggest challenge working with the artificial co-author was plot. So when you work with any of these OpenAI platforms, you begin by giving it some commands. So you tell Aidan Marchine, write a story about a woman who goes to a concert and she meets the man of her dreams. Then the computer inevitably writes the worst story you could imagine. You have to give it better details, because the program skims through all the available information about a woman at a concert meeting someone and just cobbles together a story. and there's a ton of information to work with. So when it comes to plot, the live author really has to do all the writing. So what is the platform good for? Marsh says that you have to carefully customize your requests, and you have to get really good at it. You can ask it to describe the opera house at La Scala. You might get a pretty good description that you can use. Or you could ask it to describe a concert of the King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard, and you might come up with some decent copy. But generally, it writes what he calls the worst parodies, and he had to work really hard to get it to not write crap. In summarizing the value of the platform, he compares it to any other technological advance in writing. It says it won't make you more prolific. Dickens used a quill and ink, and he still remains the most prolific writer of good works. We use word processors, and it saves time, but it hasn't resulted in better writing. With any kind of technology, it takes the user a while to figure out how to use it right. So using OpenAI just means a different starting point, and it takes the user a long time to figure out how to give it the right kind of prompts. And the same is going to be for any kind of music-generating app like Google's Music LM. So looking a little closer at Google Music LM, because it is kind of fascinating, fake music for the masses. There are paintings that you can use to describe the kind of mood you want to evoke. Very interesting. So you can choose a painting by Salvador Dali with the melting clock in the desert, or Matisse's Red Dancers, or Edward Munch's The Scream. It's really a carnival of cliches. As I'm scrolling through the variety or different methods you can start your music creation, I get kind of a sick feeling in my stomach. Maybe you would too. Because music is my life, and it's something I really love. And now it's being packaged to entertain in a new way we never thought would happen. And we're not sure it's a good idea. Okay, here's an example. It's from the category Places, and the Places Opera. Pretty horrible. And those aren't words in any language. Anything you do on any AI music generating platform with words will just have vocals. There aren't any lyrics. So if you pick rap, it's even less like speaking than the rap you hear from real artists. So the best reason to explore Music LM is so that you can recognize it when you hear it. And let's talk about it from a practical nature. You're a professional musician, and what if some AI platform uses your music? There's been a lot of discussion about that. How do you recognize your work that an AI generator used in a new creation? Well, there has to be something truly unique in order to make a claim that someone or something stole your work. Gizmodo posted an article about what AI can and can't do. It's a list of 20. And as far as detecting that something was stolen, it makes the list of things it can do. So teachers are rejoicing in this. You can feed something into the AI platform, and it will say if it's likely, very likely, unlikely plagiarized. So some good news. And then there was a point made about determining where the computer sourced its content. Like, for example, where did it get the meaning of a word? If you wrote a book and used the wrong meaning of a word, and the computer thinks it's the right meaning, So I'm going to translate that into music. What if your performance of Stravinsky's Histoire du Soldat had some intentionally wrong notes? You could point to it and say, they stole my performance because I purposely made it unique. Or sometimes, not on purpose, we make mistakes, but it makes it unique. Hooray for mistakes! Okay, here's a better one. Sometimes a creator of a map will invent a fake town or a few fake streets, and this is how the author or the creator can recognize their map was stolen. It's sneaky, but it's smart. A secret code embedded in the work. So So going with that idea, let's pretend that Calamus editions were putting mistakes in their scores on purpose for this very reason. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. Yes, definitely. But their mistakes are unique. So, find a way to make your music unique so it's identifiable. If you're a composer, you should be able to recognize your own writing. OpenAI is going to steal stuff for sure, and that's just the beginning. But I don't think it's going to make better music than what real people can make. It might be useful and interesting for a while. Well, that's it for this week, and thanks for listening. I'll post some links in the show notes at accelerandocast.com. But for now, keep celebrating live music. It's the real deal. We'll see you next time.